I've usually found when I'm the guest speaker, the congregation learns to approve their regular preacher even more. So maybe we can be benefited from this lesson tonight. Daniel chapter 3, a lesson that's familiar to all of us of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or however you pronounce his name. Boys that were taken from home, hundreds of miles from their own home that had been destroyed by the Babylonian army, that God had told them that it was going to happen. This is 600 years before Jesus puts foot on the earth. The prophets had prophesied and warned you, if you don't change, you're going to be taken into captivity. The false teachers of the day didn't want to hear anything about this repent or perish preaching, much like today. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear that everything's fine. They want to hear Joel Osteen. They want to hear these soft peddling preachers that tell you, you follow our ministry and you'll get rich. You ever heard that on TV? These Pat Robertson types and the Bakers of years ago, send money to us and the Lord will send money back to you. And I've heard that over and over again. Fella sent us $1,000 and he got $10,000 the next week from just out of nowhere. So what was that telling you? And these are the fellas that are having mansions in California and Florida and everywhere in the United States and living high. Well, they are on this earth, but it won't be so high in the next life. So they didn't want to hear the truth of the preachers, the prophets of God. They turned them away and went off into captivity, which the Lord said is not going to be all that much fun. And if you read about their captivity and the Babylonians and their cruelty to nations, this wasn't somebody just come in and you surrender. No, they were coming at you with a sword. You talk about terrorists. And if we knew they were the Babylonian army was coming today, wow, it would be a fearful thing if you knew they were marching towards Terre Haute. They're going to surround your city and starve you out. And that's what they did. But Daniel and his three friends here were taken into captivity, and we know what happened in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's interpretation of it. And he tells us about the coming kingdom in about verse 44. He tells us that there will be four kingdoms. How did he know that? There's no way in the world he could have known that without the help of God. And these boys are taken into captivity, but they are promoted because of their faithfulness to God. The end of the second chapter says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. He was also high up, in other words. And then chapter 3 begins, and this is a lesson of faith. A lesson of faith for these boys and for all of us. I need to hear this. And this is not just a bedtime story. And those of us who've grown up with godly parents have heard this story, as we say, all of our lives. I can't remember when I didn't know about these boys. Can you? Everybody hasn't been that blessed. But most of us were. And we read about these boys, and we read of, first of all, of their faith being challenged. Is your faith challenged? Is your faith challenged by the world today? Shake your head this way. Yes, it is. If you don't know it, we are in a war, aren't we? Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Well, who puts armor on? Not sissies, but soldiers. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think that's 1 Timothy 1:18 along in there. And other military weapons in 2 Thessalonians 10:3 through 5, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. No, our weapons are not laser beams and bombs, are they? And swords and bayonets? But here it is, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which Israel had turned away and went off into captivity. Well, where will our captivity be? Well, Caleb kind of mentioned we want to go to heaven, don't we, in his prayer. And in the song, Higher Ground, yes. That's where we want to go. Not to the low places. of the devil and his company. So our faith, all of us, gets challenged. And here's how it begins with these boys. And just put yourself in their shoes. I want you to feel like you were there with them in Babylon. I say sometimes we're going to go to the movies this afternoon. I want you to feel like you're living it. Just pick one of these boys you want to be. Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Look it up on your map. Where is that? When we lived in Texas, people, when we were going to move to West Virginia, they thought, well, that West Virginia was part of Virginia. It was just the West, you know, like Texas and West Texas. And I said, no, there's a real state up here, West Virginia. They weren't aware of that. So look at it. It was our maps, sometimes the least used part of our Bible, but they're in there for a purpose. And if you young people have good eyes, you can read the cities. Most of us have to get those magnifying glasses anymore. Then verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. I always say when I lived in Peoria, Illinois, there was a river that ran almost through the city, and they were constantly building bridges. And when they would build a bridge, you know who they never called? Me. They only called the higher-ups, you know, the governors and the mayors of the big cities around, and everybody, all the higher-ups, and they made the news, and they wanted to be there. Well, Nebuchadnezzar has made this 90-foot golden-covered image, and he wants everybody, all the counselors and sheriffs and the higher-ups to come, and the governors to come and see this thing, because he's going to give them a reason why they're there. Then verse 3, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Thousands of people. You got it pictured? This is not two or three people running around here. That's nice. No, they're all there. And they're going to be told in a moment why they are there. And they're standing there looking at this golden image. Then an herald, verse 4, cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fire. A burning furnace. Fiery furnace. Now the reason that there had to be a herald is because that God couldn't talk, could he? David tells us twice in the Psalms, I think it's 115 and 135, that these idols have eyes but can't see, they have throats but they can't talk, feet but they can't walk, hands but they can do no work. And he said that those who make them are like the idols. I think King James Version uses in one place or several places the word brutish. We would translate it as stupid. And that defines, the prophet said, you cut down a tree and you cook your food with part of it, and then the rest of the tree you make an idol out of it. And that's smart. You want to make this thing our idol? Now, of course, we're not going to leave it this color, are we? And we're going to paint it up, powder it up, put some jewelry on it, put some lighting on it, so when you walk in, oh, there's our God. Well, what's it going to say to you? We'll have John come up here and sit and listen for it to talk to it. And whenever it talks to him, he's going to write it down. How long is he going to have to wait? Forever. See, this thing's not going to be. A herald has to tell you why you're here and what's going to happen. And if you don't bow down when you hear what? Are these instructions too hard? When you hear the sounds of all this kinds of music, you do what? I didn't get that. No, you got it the first time. You will bow down. And if you do not, in 10 or 15 years after you've been on death row, is that what he said? No. You're going to die. You're not going to get a lawyer and bargain, go to court and go again and again. No, you are just going to die. So their faith is being challenged. Are these boys going to hear about this? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach? Yes, sir. 7, verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. What if I gave you a rule? If you don't bow before me, I'm going to shoot you. And somebody just stands there. Once somebody said, that's not going to happen. Well, you know, if I'm like Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to die right away. It's over. So the law is clear. What you have to do. Is this a challenge? Our government makes laws sometimes that challenges us, don't they? Whether we're going to do what's right. They say this is okay to do. Well, our government says okay to do, so we can do it. No. Only God rules in our hearts. But all the people, twice that phrase is used in verse 7. All the people heard and all the nations fell down when they heard. They knew they had to. Now here comes the accusation, verse 8. Faith is challenged. Here's the rule that's made. Here's what you got to do. Here comes the accusing. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, the Babylonians, came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. If I'm the king, I'm sitting here on my throne, and I'm saying, yeah, you got it right. You got it right. Verse 11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I'm still, that's right. That's exactly what I said. Well, he says, verse 12, these Chaldeans do, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed, have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and this is their initials, you know, wouldn't want to call names. Oh, yeah. They're letting them know. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have not served thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou hast set up. They are rebelling against you. Remember what happened when Vashti refused to dance before the king? You know what the men said? You let her get away with this, and we'll have rebellion throughout all the country. Is that what happens? That's why we're having the trouble we're having in our nation, some of the reason. Because those who commit crimes are not executed speedily. You get somebody in there who will do it right, we'll stop a lot of this trash. When somebody commits a crime that's worthy of death, they die. Not 10 years from now, but they're going to be tried, found guilty, and they die. That would stop it. And the king is made aware. And like we read there in verse 49 of chapter 2, he had elevated them to prominence. And I think there's a little bit of jealousy here. Some foreigners coming in and taking over our spots. You know, we should be elevated, and these foreigners are getting the places. Well, verse 13 says, and this is the beginning of the part of the passage that their faith becomes threatened. I'm okay. If I'm one of these boys so far, okay, I know the challenge. Yeah. I've got to bow down when I hear. I'm not going to do it. The accusations come. Now it's pointed out that us three are the only ones in the kingdom that are not bowing down. And now, let's see what happens. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Did you ever see anybody in a rage and fury? Can you tell when somebody's angry? Boys, you have to ask your mom, are you mad? Don't ask that. Okay, wrong thing to do, guys. I never had to ask my dad. I said I could tell by the way they walked across the floor or came up the steps to my room. Uh-oh. Or how they called my name. I'm in a heap of trouble. So, the king. Here is a king. Everybody does what he says. Nobody goes against his rules. Even his friends here, these three boys. In his rage and fury, he commands to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake, verse 14, and said unto them, "Is it true?" I give him a little credit for calming down. You ever do anything smart when you're angry? And you look back and think, "Oh, that was smart. I was glad I was angry when I did." Not often do we. No. So by the time these boys get there, he says, "Is it true what I've heard about you? Do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I've set up?" He kind of gives them a second chance here. He said, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music," you got those instruments memorized by now? "You fall down. If you hear them and fall down and worship the image which I have set up, everything will be hunky-dory. Everything will be good." Well, "But if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Several interesting things in this passage. If you bow, you won't burn. But if you don't worship, you will be cast in when? In the fire? The same what? Week? Month? Hour. In the same hour, into the burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar didn't know a God that could do that, did he? Nobody's ever jumped into a fire, have you? We used to burn leaves when we could in Peoria, where I grew up, until the city said you couldn't do that anymore. And I was the leaf burner. And I'd get brave and I'd run and jump across the pile of leaves, you know. Woo-wee, look at me. Playing with fire. My granddad taught me with a candle. Maybe I shouldn't tell you. You can run your finger through the flame. But don't do this, okay? That leaves a mark. I showed my girlfriend, about 7 or 8 years old. She thought I was something. But I never once stopped. You're not going to do that, are you? Mm-mm. So he says, and we fear fire. It's useful in its right place, in the fireplace or wherever, or on the stove when it's cooking, but in a furnace to burn somebody? Not so much. So he says, you'll die the same hour when you hear these instruments and you don't bow. I've seen it with my own eyes. Maybe a little jealousy between these Chaldeans and wanting to get rid of these boys. And so if he says, if you bow, then I'll see everything's okay. But if you don't, you're going to die that hour. Then listen to this response. How would you have responded? Okay, you're standing here before the king who has the power of life and death in his hands. And it's your life. How do you respond? Verse 16, they responded, "O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." We're not worried about you and your threats. What if you're the king and you hear this? You've just told them you better bow or you will burn. And they say, "Sorry, but we're not worried about you." And this threat about what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? Did they know one? He didn't know. The king didn't know. But these boys knew one. And so do we, don't we? We serve the same God that they served, that Joseph served, that Daniel served, that Abraham served, that Moses served. We have the same God. And as Caleb mentioned in his prayer, who has the power to create all that we see. Isn't that something? And he has the power to create eyes so we can see it. And in living color, we see it. They knew this God, and so we're not worried, they said. If it be so, verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Either way, heads we win, tails we win. We can't lose. And that's one of the things that the king thought he had in his favor, was fear. Not with these three. Remember Jesus said, don't worry about somebody who can destroy your body, shoot you. Oh, please don't kill me. I'll do anything. And a lot of Christians in the first century backed off and renounced the Lord as their Savior because of the fear of death. But think about it. Where are you going to go when you die? When your heart stops? Is it going to be, oh, it's going to be awful? No. It's going to be the greatest thing. And it won't be temporary, it will be eternal. Wow. You don't know anything that's eternal here, do you? You get a new suit, what happens? You get a new car, what happens? Get a new pair of shoes, oh, they wear out. And so do we, don't we? We wear out, don't we? Yes, we do. And we need to be looking not for eternity here, because it's not going to be here, but for eternity in heaven. And that's what these boys said. We're not worried about you. Our God can deliver us. Either way, we will be out of your hands. Why? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, they were walking by faith. Well, I guess there is a God. I think there's a heaven. I don't know. No, we know it. There's too much proof in there. Paul said, atheists are without excuse. Read Romans chapter 1 about verse 20, 21. So they said, we're not worried. Their faith has been challenged. Their faith has been accused. Their faith has been threatened. And now it's going to be tested. Okay? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He's angry again. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, as we said, you can tell when somebody's angry. You can tell. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be. We would say, heat it as hot as you can. Get that furnace hotter than you've ever had it and do it now. They've just spit in my face. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? We picture an igloo, Eskimo's house. Kind of got that pictured? Let me draw a pitiful example of it. Here's what it looked like, and it had a hole up here. There's got to be a chimney, okay? So they were taken up and thrown into the hole, and the most mighty men in Nebuchadnezzar's army, you know, that ought to convince you not to smoke. Smoke will kill you. When you're breathing in that hot cigarette, that's what you're doing. You're breathing in fire into your beautiful lungs. Go and look at a smoker's lungs. You can look it up on, you can Google it. It's ugly. But the healthy lungs are beautiful. If you can look at it that way, they're pink. But the others are dark. They're destroyed. Destroyed. Anyway, that's why these boys kill. You don't look into a fireplace and go, do you? Suck in the hot. No, you know that's not good for you. And that fire was so hot, it was more than they were used to. And they got close to it, took a breath, and they died. They died. The mighty men died. You know, I thought if I were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, King just pronounced us, you're going to die. I might have tugged on Shadrach's coat and said, excuse me, boys, can we get out of this? You know, we've got, you know, and who's going to know? We're so far away from home, and everything we know has been destroyed, and, you know, we know that this is no God, this big, tall, gold-covered thing, it's no God. And so what if we bow? We know it's not a God, and God knows we know it's not a God. Can we convince ourselves and go along with the crowd? That's what a lot of us do. We choose to go along with the crowd rather than to do what we know is right. They wouldn't bow, would they? They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Their faith becomes triumphant. You know, they hadn't read, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. They hadn't read the rest of chapter 3. They didn't know the outcome of this chapter, as we do. They fell down into the midst of the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, yeah, we did. See, you can see he's got a front row seat out here with all the sheriffs and counselors and governors and mighty men and all that. And he stands up and he said, didn't we cast three in there? Well, he said, I see four. I see four men in there loose, walking around in the midst of the fire, verse 25. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Well, guess who was protecting them? God had an air-conditioned furnace, didn't he? That's the only one ever in history. Nobody's ever been thrown into a fire like that and walked around in it, loose. I mean, they saw the exit. We'd all be hunting for it, wouldn't we? If we ran into a fire. Yeah, get away. No, he said they're loose and they're just walking around in there. Hello? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, not too close, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then, underline that word in your mind or in your Bible, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Only then. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Speaking of burning leaves, you can walk by a pile of burning leaves, you go in the house and somebody, you on fire? You just walk by one. See? You smell like the burning leaves, wouldn't you? They've been in there for how long? Loose, walking around into that fire that's so hot that it killed the powerful men, hotter than ever before, and their coats weren't changed, the hair on their head, that's the first thing you'd go. Your hair? Phew, I know, I had an accident, and I know that for sure. Little explosion. Smells awful too, but nothing was changed on them. Nothing was hurt. 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him. There you go. Do we trust in God? You know, we come together, we eat the Lord's Supper, we sing, we pray, well, whatever. You know. Can it get old? You got to be careful. Customary to you, take the Lord's Supper and it not mean a single... Sing a song before the Lord's Supper to help you what? To help you do what? Does it? Does it? I can sing that song from memory. Don't even have to look at the book. That's not how it is asked of it, of us. When we sing, are we supposed to pay attention to the words? Shake your head this way. When Caleb or anyone leads us in prayer, are we supposed to... Oh, get a little shut-eye? Huh? And he's the prayer leader. I don't have to. No, we need to listen to that prayer, don't we? That's why we call him the leader. And we pray with him. Please. Or is our service customary? Is our service vain? Well, somebody told me, well, just be glad I'm here. Well, you're not trying to impress the preacher. It's God. We're the ones that are on stage. We're not the audience. We're the ones on stage. And God is watching me. And he's watching you. Is there anything about you he doesn't know? Hairs on your head. I said it's getting easier for him to know the numbers of hair in mine. But he knows more about Mo than Mo knows about Mo. See? Things I may have forgotten. What did Nebuchadnezzar say in verse 15? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Does he know him now? And all the people who deny God, when are they going to know him? When they die? The rich man in torment lifted his eyes. Being in torment, he could speak, he could remember, he could feel, he could thirst. All of those things. When my heart stops beating, I'm going to know. Either be with Lazarus in Abraham's bosom in paradise, as Jesus told the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm going to know everybody that dies, paradise or punishment. When your heart stops beating, you make the choice. You're making the choice where your spirit goes in eternity. And this is so temporary here. This little bitty space of time. Somebody said you try to define eternity, you just harm it. I don't know anything that's eternal. And neither do you, except for that. He said, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. A lot of people are leaving the church today because there's fun and games in these denominations. They've got an entertaining preacher. And that's what a lot of even members of the church are looking for now. They've got to have, hey, we've got to have this, and we've got to have somebody, a joke teller. One couple told us, we were living in West Virginia and came to Steak and Shake in Indianapolis, and they said, Brother Hafley, you should have been at our meeting last week. That he was telling us one story after another. He had us laughing on one hand and crying on the other. That's what they remembered. Who did Paul preach? Did he preach Paul? You can't read his writings and see Paul. You read his writing, you see Christ, don't you? Sure you do. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know this God, but how did he find out about him? Through their faith. They weren't going to back off even under the fear of death because they didn't fear it. And neither should we. Neither should we. We have the faith if somebody were to come in here, if you don't denounce the Lord, I'll kill you. Go ahead. Take me first. Heads I win. Tails I win. That's what they said. Their faith is triumphant. Now, last of all, in the last two verses, it is vindicated. So will our faith. People laugh at you bunch of little Church of Christers, you Campbellites. Alexander Campbell started your... Did he? No, you shake your head this way this time. No man started the Lord's church. The Lord did. He told us when it would start. Under the Roman rule, here in this same book, chapter 2, verse 44, 45. And he told us where, Isaiah chapter 2, in the city of Jerusalem. And guess what? We have churches that are younger than I am. How many? 4,000 or more than that churches in our country? It's an unbelievable figure. And you can see them on every street corner, thicker than gas stations. Different names, different doctrines. And Jesus said, I will build what? My church. And we're blessed to be a member of it. And if you're not a member of it, you're lost. You're lost. He's the Savior of the body, Paul said in the book of Ephesians, and that body is His church, over which He's the head, and He directs it. And these boys chose to serve their head, their God, and not let the fear of death stop them. Therefore, verse 29, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. We're going to burn your house. We're going to tear it down, and we'll put our refuse there. And every time anybody walks by your house, they're going to remember why. You're going to be a monument. You make fun of this God. Because no God can do what this God has just done. Then verse 30, last of all. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What the enemy tried to do was demote them, try to get them killed. And now what's happening? Being elevated. And so will we be. When I was a young boy, everybody wanted to be like Elvis Presley. Some of you might remember that singer of days ago. Oh, everybody. Oh, the girls were after. Oh, want to trade places with him now? Anyone? No, you don't. No, you don't. And they didn't want to lose their soul, did they? They knew God would take care of them. Just like you and I can know that God will take care of us. But we've got to have the faith to stand against the challenges of our faith, the accusations of our faith, the threatenings against our faith. And it will be, when we are tested, it will be triumphant. We will be the winner. And you can do it. God didn't give us a book that we couldn't understand, that we couldn't obey, or a law that was too hard. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. If that's what you think, isn't it better to be a Christian? You don't have the worries that the ungodly have. You can pillow your head, and my boys say you can crash and burn every night because you don't have the worries of the world. See, you're just doing what the Lord said. And when this thing stops, and one day it will for all of us, then we can go home and be with Him just like Caleb prayed. Not for a week, vacation, summer vacation. No. But forever. Don't you think it'll be worth it? They did, and so can we. If our faith is challenged like theirs was, and we can stand all the accusations and tests, we will be tested and we will be triumphant and it will be vindicated. Whatever we have to suffer here will be worth it all. To become a member of the Lord's body, what must I do? I know what the world says, but I also know what the book says. This book says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Has that changed? Denominations have changed it. You can be sprinkled, have water poured on you, or just say, I believe the Lord is my Savior, and you're saved. Is that what the book said? Is that what Jesus said? Let's do what He said, and then we'll be what He wants us to be, and that is Christians. We won't have to wear a denominational name. We'll just be married to Him and wear the name of Christ. And it'll be worth it. Whatever we have to go through, it'll be worth it all. If you're here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, John has given us a song selected, Trust and Obey. Won't you do that right now while we stand and while we sing?